you know, my nose.
Okay. Just remember this. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept the ideas. You need not even accept the ideas, and you need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. I'll say it again. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. And try to remember, it's okay to relax and have a good time. This isn't a serious holy class, okay? It's okay. We just human beings coming together to learn about how to have more peace. So don't let the environment freak you out. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe. And others may seem to be quite startling. And others may seem to be quite startling. Startling. You are not asked to choose the ideas at all. You are not asked to judge the ideas at all. Their use will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that the ideas are true. Their use will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that the ideas are true. One time. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. Some of the ideas you may actively resist. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe. And others may seem to be quite startling. And others may seem to be quite startling. You are not asked to judge the ideas at all. Their use will give the ideas meaning to you and will show you that the ideas are true. There is nothing to fear. That there's nothing to fear merely states a fact, but it's not a fact to those who believe in their fears. It's not a fact that there's nothing to fear if you have a fear that you fear. But your fears are not facts. In truth, in reality, there is nothing to fear. And it's very easy to recognize that there's nothing to fear. But it's hard to recognize there is nothing to fear for someone who wants their fears and worries and concerns to be true. It's hard to recognize that there's nothing to fear if you have a fear or worry that you want to be true. So this exercise, this Course in Miracles lesson that we're using for our warm-up and our meditation, lesson 48, consists of merely repeating this idea as frequently as possible. You can say it with your eyes closed. You can say it with your eyes open. You can use it in any situation. But it's really strongly recommended that you take a minute or two, whenever possible, close your eyes and then repeat the idea. There is nothing to fear, quite slowly to yourself several times. laughing to fear. Let that go through you. There is nothing to fear. It's important that you say that immediately. Should anything disturb your peace of mind, anything freak you out, there's nothing to fear, because the presence of fear is a sure sign that you're trusting in your own strength, separate from the Creator, separate from God. The presence of fear is a sure sign that you're just dependent on yourself alone. The presence of fear, the presence of worry, the presence of depression, the presence of fear is a sure sign that you're trusting in your own strength. But if you have the awareness that there's nothing to fear, then that shows that somewhere in your mind you come to realize the power of God in you. And you let the power of God take the place of your weakness in those areas where you feel like there's nothing to fear. The instant you're willing to let the power of the universe, the power of spirit, take the place of any weakness in your awareness, there is indeed nothing to fear. So we're going to take a couple of minutes, and we're going to let ourselves hear that there's nothing to fear. And so we're going to affirm that those who feel like it and those who want to listen can listen. But it's important to just say the truth sometimes.
Oh, I can't just do a head trip. Too much for not explode. Y'all said when y'all would see a black man just explode right in front of
you. Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, ain't going $5 off.
Okay.
Today we're going to talk about how is healing accomplished. You got the book is on page 17 in the teacher's manual. So what do you think about a situation that you got going on in your life right now? Something that you'd like to see a healing in, something that you would like to see resolved. So you have your situation, the thing that you'd like to see different. It's page 17 in the teacher's manual. First, the first set of sentences, healing involves an understanding of what the illusion of sickness is for. The course defines sickness as any form of lack of peace. So when it talks about sickness, it's not just talking about physical illness. From a course perspective, sickness is having an unpeaceful state of mind. Because the Course in Miracles is only concerned with our perception of situations. Because it's teaching us that our perception of a situation or our interpretation of a situation is what's determining how we feel about it. So your peace is really coming from your interpretation and your conflict is coming from your interpretation. So healing involves an understanding of what the sickness is for or the thing that you're going through, the challenge is for. You will not have a healing unless you understand what it's for. So basically it says, healing is accomplished the instant the sufferer no longer sees any value in pain. Healing is accomplished as soon as the sufferer no longer sees any value in pain. The healing is accomplished as soon as you no longer see any value in the pain. The healing is accomplished as soon as you no longer see any value in the lack. The abundance is accomplished when you no longer see any value in lack. The loneliness is healed when you no longer see any value in being lonely. The situation is healed when you no longer see any value in it. The situation will be healed when you no longer see any value in it. So healing isn't accomplished until I no longer see any value in the thing that I'm going through, which we don't have to believe, don't have to sell, don't have to welcome, could feel some resistance about. So it says, who would choose suffering unless they thought suffering brought them something and brought them something of value? So that means that whatever the person is going through, they basically think it's a small price to pay for something of greater value. So whatever you're going through right now, that's a small price to pay for something that you believe is going to be of greater value than the thing that you're going through, according to the Course. So the sickness or the lack of peace that we're going through, the Course says, is an election and it's a decision. So whatever the sickness is, whatever the lack of peace is a decision. It is a price that I'm willing to pay to get something that I think is going to be of greater value than the suffering or the upset that I think I'm going through. So whatever the upset is, it's the price I think I have to pay to have what I want. I know. The truth is a trip, isn't it? Yeah. So, being jumped down to where it says the shift in perception. So that means healing must occur in the exact proportion to which the valuelessness of sickness is recognized. So the healing happens in direct proportion to how much I see that it's not valuable for me to continue to go through whatever it is I'm going through. So the more valuable that I think it is for me to go through what I think I'm going through, that's how long it will take me to have that situation heal. So the situations that seem like it's taking a long time to heal are the situations that I think is very valuable that I go through the crap that I think I'm going through right now. Because that's what I think I need to do in order to have something of greater value. That's what it's saying. So what I like about the Course is that it's a real-time teaching, which means we can take it and we can apply it to whatever we're going through right now. Okay, so that means that whatever problem that I think I have that looks like it's been taking forever for me to solve, then for some reason I think it's valuable for me to keep on going through this over and over and over and over again, and I think that it's going to give me something of greater value than the suffering that I'm going through. So the problem is the decision that I've made that this is what I need to go through in order to have the healing and to have what I want. Some people believe it's just natural to have relationships that you're always going through some kind of a challenging. Because they think the price they have to pay for a relationship is that they got to work really hard to have one. Okay, so since the relationships are hard, and before you can have a really wonderful relationship, you got to go through a whole bunch of stuff. Then you go through a whole bunch of stuff so that you can have a relationship that you think you want to have. But to understand that that's not necessary, that it's not necessary for you to suffer in order for you to have peace, would be the thought that would be necessary in order to dislodge the problem that you're continuing to have. Okay, according to this, that we don't have to believe. Okay, believe me, I promise you, I am not trying to convince anybody or trying to convert anybody. Now, what I'm trying to do is remember this for myself with other people looking. Okay, that's different from me coming here and trying to change anybody. I'm too old to believe that you can change people. It's a sign of ignorance to believe you can change people. So that's not my goal up here. My goal is to join with people who already want to join with me going in the same direction that I want to go in, which is peace. You know, I want to go in the direction of peace. And I want to join with other people who want to go in the direction of peace, and they're open to listening to other ways to go about it than the ways that we learn. Mm-hmm. And then they get a chance to choose for themselves whether or not they're going to use this way. Is that cool?
Yeah.
So the Course in Miracles is not the only way, and I'm glad it's not, because if it was the only way, it would take too long. Because you got to convert everybody over to one thought system, which will never happen. You know what I'm saying? And then you got to get everybody to believe it that once they say they want to do it. I'd much rather all of us end up in love through going through our own personal curriculum and path and end up in the same place. There was a lot of different streets that people took to get to this church today. You see what I'm saying? So I don't argue about the pathway. It's okay. You know, but I want love. And that's what I want in my life. I want peace. I want to be around peaceful, loving people. And so I don't want to suffer. So I need to understand where suffering comes from. Because obviously the world doesn't know. Because if it did, we would have solved it by now. Mm-hmm. And what the world always says causes suffering is something outside of you that needs to change in order for you to be happy. That's the world's plot. You know. So we know that that's not the path. Because we tried it all our lives and it hasn't worked. And we're watching everybody else try it and it doesn't work. We just know it doesn't work. You know. So the Course is saying, well, what's really causing the suffering is, for some reason, I think it's valuable for me to go through this stuff. And I think going through this stuff is going to give me something more valuable than the stuff I'm going through. And I need to understand that it's a decision that I've made, and I'm not a victim of my experience, that this is a decision that I've made, but it's a decision that I've made based on the idea that somehow or another is going to bring me something of greater worth. After all my suffering, it's going to pay off. And the more I suffer, the more I deserve to have it pay off. Okay, so the Course says healing must occur in exact proportion. So let me get some water.
Mike, you might want to introduce yourself to somebody around.
The month of January was an extraordinarily powerful, beautiful, unbelievably off the hook month for me. For me it was great.
Yeah.
I saw so many things that happened in the past month that was a reflection of everything that I was studying to see it is true. And so it was a serious threat to my old belief system to see so much in the new belief system start to manifest.
Yeah.
So in order to prove that the new belief system was not true, that I couldn't be this powerful, loving, and vulnerable spiritual child of God that deserved all this joy, I decided to try to give myself a cold and a sore throat. Okay? And a cold, and I would choose a cold and a sore throat simply because of the line of work that I do. That if I was going to try to block myself, I would surely do it in a way that it would affect what it looks like I do. Because it was a defense against the truth. It's a way for me to prove to myself that I couldn't possibly be this being that this book is talking about. Okay, so first I tell myself, this is just a trick to make me think that I can't have peace. Then I do whatever I think I need to do in the physical world as a symbolic gesture to show that I'm willing to be healed, whether that's get some kind of medicine or whatever I think I need to do at the physical level in order to bring about the healing. That's my symbolic gesture to show that I'm willing to be healed. But I have to tell myself the truth about it, which is that it's a defense against the truth. And it's just a trick to make me think that I cannot be healthy all the time as a child of God. That's what the first thing I have to do. And don't pretend that I don't have it. So I'm not going to say I feel good in a moment that I don't feel good. Sometimes I might say it because I don't feel like going through an explanation right there, because I got some stuff I need to do. But I'm never going to tell myself something other than how I feel in the moment. Because there's nothing sinful, guilty, or bad about feeling ill or sick or a little bit off or whatever you want to call it. It's not a sign of you a failure as a spiritual being, as an advancing consciousness, because you don't feel good all the time. In my perception, you are a failure as an advancing consciousness when you deceive yourself about who and what you are and what you feel and what's going on with you. The more you lie to yourself, the more you're deceiving yourself. That's a sign of not being very advanced in consciousness. So trying to pretend that you don't feel what you feel is not the sign of an advanced in being. That's the sign of a being that's in self-deception. Which a lot of, in denial, which is very popular on the spiritual path, which tells you you're supposed to always say you feel great and everything's great, even if you're about to commit suicide. How's everything going? Oh, this is grand. The universe is grand. Everything that's happening in the universe is grand. It's all fine. And then you read about you the next day. You know. So I would much rather realize that, you know what, right now, the price that I think I have to pay for having such an incredible month is a scratchy throat. You know what I'm saying? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give myself even more of the truth instead of less of the truth. So I listen to the truth all night long on my CD player. The Secrets of the Defense Against the Truth lesson. I recorded it and I played it all night long and I played it all day long while I was all wrapped up and doing everything else I could do at the level of symbolic gesture. I was telling myself the truth. Sickness is a defense against the truth. Sickness is a defense against the truth. It's just a trick. It's just a trick. It's a defense against the truth. Because you need your learning most in the situations that are most upsetting. And that's when most people don't need the truth at all. It's when things aren't going good, when they are upset, and when they are sick. That's when they stay away from it. As if I should only do it when I feel good, but when I don't feel good, that's the last thing I should do. So I'm encouraging you to understand that whatever you're going through right now, if it's any form of suffering, it's just a price you think you have to pay for something of greater value. It was a decision that you made when the truth threatened what you would believe, and all of a sudden your old thought system was getting threatened by something that was happening, and so you had to go back to your old way by trying to give yourself some problem like you always have. And you know just who to call. We know just who to call. They're in that little feel crappy part of our phone book. You know, like when you're ready to feel bad, you know who to call. And when you're ready to feel good and supported and loved, you know which one of your friends or relatives that when you call them, they're going to give you a positive, loving counter reflection. You know exactly your friends to call who's going to tell you you're crazy and you deserve pain and snacks. We know. So what we do is we make a decision first, and then we decide who to call. We decide how to feel first, then we go do whatever it is we go do. First I decide to feel guilty, then I go drink too much. First, I decide to feel guilty, then I overeat when I say I'm not going to eat as much. The decision came first, and then what you did came as a result of the decision, not the other way around. The decision always comes first. But the decision can be made so rapidly that you don't even remember making the decision, and so therefore it can look like it's something happening to you as opposed to something you created yourself. I'll say it again. Decisions are continuous. You don't always know when you're making them. When you decide to feel sick or unhappy or do something crazy, you make the decision so fast that you don't remember making it, and then you allow yourself to experience the result of the decision without realizing you created it. And then we get a chance to blame what's happening on something outside of ourselves, and it looks like we had nothing to do with it. That's the guess where the game is played. I decide I'm going to have a relationship that sucks. First. Then I go out with somebody who believes everything just the opposite of what I do. So we can argue, fuss, and fight. But I made the decision to be unhappy before I chose that person. I made the decision so fast that I don't even remember making it. But I'm getting the result of the decision every minute, the experience that I'm having. So how can you tell when you're ready to break a pattern? The way that you can tell when you're ready to break a pattern will be, you will be the one that said you made the decision to experience it. I'll say it again. When you're ready to break a pattern, you can tell when you're ready to break the pattern because you will be owning it and you will be taking responsibility for the experience that you're having. That's when you're ready to break the pattern. If you're not ready to break the pattern, you'll still be doing projection and blame, projection and blame, projection. But it is that other person's fault. It is that other person. If it wasn't, but for them, I wouldn't. Okay, that's just the person who still wants to keep the secret decision going and still want to keep the crap going. They have that right. You know why? Because they made the decision that going through this crap and pain that they're going through is the price that they want to pay in order to have something of greater value. That is the way they have decided to solve the problem. And until they decide that they don't want to do it that way, they won't ever remember that they are responsible. So if you're a person that's going, doggone it, this is challenging for me right now, but I'm going to own it somehow or another. I was the one that made this decision. I gave them my phone number. They didn't just magically get it. I gave it to them. The reason why I talk about relationships a lot is because the Course in Miracles is the path of enlightenment based on relationships. All kinds, not just romantic. So it's the relationship path. And so you're going to constantly hear me talk about relationships. All right? So, because the relationships, of course, are the fastest way to wake up or the slowest way to wake up. They either speed you along or they delay you ridiculously. But they're not neutral. If you got processed out,
yes.
then you're tired of delaying yourself.
Yeah.
If you have to explain everything about you all the time, every minute, justifying every aspect of who you are with somebody, there is something that's a red flag, buddy. That's a red flag. That's a flaming red flag. It's on fire. A true relationship is direct communication, and direct communication is just me talking to you and sharing with you as I am, who I am, and you getting it. You know, but it's very entertaining to process. And sometimes when people are bored, they make sure they have relationships that they always are working on, because without the relationship they're working on, what are they going to do? Watch American Idol. That's it. So, you know what I'm saying? Some people, if they didn't have drama, they wouldn't leave anything going on. Period. So they keep drama going because they're not being creative in their life. So without it, that's why soap operas are so popular. You know, it's all about the drama.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people love drama. And when you know those people, you got friends like that. It's just every day, it's a brand new episode. I'm so glad the writer's strike is going on right now. And so they're running out of scripts. Some people just repeating the script. They're just going to new people with the same script.
It's all the same.
The same script. But I'm just going to give it to another woman. You know.
You didn't work. You didn't do that script good enough. What's wrong with you? You need to go to Landmark.
You ready to act out mine? And you said, love at first sight. Now, what I really want to do is join with my fantasy in uninterrupted bliss. I really got a fantasy, and I want you to act it out. So don't you talk too much. Don't bring too much of you into the relationship, all right? Just be silent and act out my fantasy, because if I get to know you, you may actually have a different agenda for yourself than what I've made up for you. I mean, what else could it be? You walk in the room, I don't even know you, and I say, you're the one. You're the one for what? My fantasy. Because I haven't talked to you yet. I have no idea who you are, what you are. And guess what? I'm choosing you based on my past. That's why I singled you out, because of something from my own past. So I'm getting ready to repeat the past just by singling you out. Mm-hmm. Because if I really just wanted to learn the truth, if I just wanted to be a more conscious person, if I just wanted to be a more loving person, if I really wanted to remember, you know, the truth, I could do that with anybody in here. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have to single anybody out if I just wanted to remember the truth and love and, you know. But if I go, it's got to be you, then I got some kind of a special fantasy that I want you to act out. And I'm upset with you because you're not acting it out. That's why we're going to counsel. Are we clear about that? Well, if you really want to be honest, when you went to the counselor, you would simply say, I'm trying to dominate and control this person, and they won't go along with it. I have a script on how they should live their lives and to make me happy, and they're not doing it adequately. And I want you to convince them that they're wrong. That's the least that should happen for how much you charge an hour. You know it's true. But what people don't realize is that when you get on the love train, when you get on the truth train, when you get in touch with who you really are, you become whole within yourself, and you realize that it's, we have unity and oneness, then you will realize that there are people that exist who in their natural expression of themselves are perfect for you. And they don't have to change at all, because the way that they naturally express themselves is exactly what would be perfect for you. So they would just be being themselves, and you would be totally pleased without having to change them at all. And people like that exist because I'm meeting them every day. It's not like my fantasies are not being acted out. They are, but it's just the difference is I'm not the one that's deciding who's going to do it, so it can happen faster. See, when you decide on the form of what you want, you've lost the understanding of the purpose of it. Let me clarify that a little bit. That's deep, isn't it? Okay, when you decide on the form of what you want, you have lost the understanding of your purpose. For instance, and I've said this many times, and I have to remind myself of it because I'm tempted to do it. I want love. I want peace. I want communication. Okay? Love wants to get to you. Love wants to get to you. Love is invisible. Love is the content. Bodies are just the forms. Okay, but love is what we want. Right? Okay, I've decided it's got to come through you. You don't want to give it to me. As a matter of fact, you got to restrain it going down. So I get the hint that you might not want to really give me no love. All right, a couple of pit bulls, maybe it's not there for me. But when I was insane, I would go, oh, a challenge. I remember being that way. As a man, I remember that the woman who was saying that she wasn't interested, I go, oh, the challenge. You know, and that's what you do when you're insane. You waste time. Okay, it'd be much easier to be drawn to somebody that spirit draws to you, that you got something common, that you're both mutually attracted to each other, and you're headed in the same direction. That's faster. It's much easier to have someone that's loving on you who goes, I want to love on you too. Then, okay, that might be a hint. Okay, but I want love. But I decided it's going to be her. So I lost sight of my purpose. Do I want love, or do I want her body?
You want her body.
If I don't want love. If I don't love, I want her body. Mm-hmm. Because if she doesn't want to give me the love, then I'm spending all my time trying to get her to give me the love. Love might want to come to me here. Love might want to come to me here. Love might want to come to me here, 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 here. But I decided it's got to be her. And so I'm actually delaying my receiving love, because I'm not allowing love to come through me and to me in the form that is open and willing and receptive. So I've lost sight of my purpose. My purpose is to have love. My purpose is not to have your body, regardless of whether or not you want to be loving toward me. And that's what we do. Right?
Right.
We walk into a room, we see a body, and we say, I want that one. Let's wrap that up right there and see. Let's wrap that one up right there. Get my visa out. And, you know. And so, you know, just like before we came here, we went to the body store on the other side. and we decide to pick to have the bodies that we have now. You know, you chose your body, you chose your sex, you chose your race, you chose your parents, you chose everything before you came here. You know. Now, I don't know what I was thinking about to choose a black body in the 1850s in the South, but I was... I guess I was showing off. That's what we call it. Just showing off. Okay, but, you know, plus I'm a hell of a dancer. I don't know. But the point that I'm making is that nothing about our experience is an accident. Nothing about our experience is something that didn't happen at some soul level of choice for us. And as soon as we recognize that we're not the victims of our experience, we get in touch with our power. And the minute we get in touch with our power, we can start choosing differently. And when we choose differently, we're having a different experience altogether. There are more people who could love you and would love you than you could ever get around to. There's no deficit. There's no lack of love. But there is me choosing someone who I cannot have a peaceful relationship with because I don't believe I deserve one. And so I spent all my time wrestling with them because of my own lack of self-esteem and my own lack of love for myself. And so that's the price I think I have to pay for love. So when you see somebody doing that in the form of keeping on doing the same thing over and over again, you bless them and you wish them peace and you let them have that ride. And stop freaking out about it. It's okay. They're innocent. There is a limit. That's what's so cool about anything. You will reach your limit. Everybody's got a limit of pain. And when you interfere sometimes, you slow the process down. It might get there faster if you leave them alone. You know what I mean? Sometimes you slow people up when you're trying to fix them and save them. They need to go ahead and crash. And then they go, oh, okay, this might not be what I need to do. All right? And then when you start to love yourself, one of the side effects of beginning to love yourself is you're not able to tolerate discomfort as well as you used to.
Tolerate what?
Discomfort. It's like the more you start to love yourself, the less you can put up with crap. Yeah. It's not a sign of spiritual growth because you can tolerate crap longer. People think that's spiritual growth. The fact that I can be more long-suffering means I must be becoming strong. It's like, no, it means you're not waking up to your spiritual identity at all. Because if you were really waking up to who you really were, then you would know that you didn't deserve to suffer all the time. So you would be more intolerant of it than you would be tolerant of it. So some of you are finding that you get finding yourself getting more irritated instead of less irritated around discomfort. That's actually a sign that your spiritual power is returning because you can't stand not having the peace you know you deserve as a child of God. And I'm proud of you. So people might be saying that you're just worse than ever, but the truth is you know you deserve peace more than you used to, and you're not putting up with stuff that you used to put up with. And they'll say that you, something's wrong with you. You don't put up with what you used to put up with. That's right, because I love myself now. So yeah, I deserve better. You know what I mean? Then you have the fun of seeing who recognizes you, who's attracted to you, who notices you. That's cool. So, now this is deep. It says, healing must occur in the exact proportion to which the valuelessness of the sickness or unhappiness is recognized. One need but say, there's no gain at all to me in this, and then you're healed. Now that sounds simple. I'm just supposed to say there's no gain at all to me in this, and the situation will be healed. That's what it just said. There's no benefit to me in this, and then I'll be healed. He says, oh, but there must be a catch. Let's see what it is. He says, but to say this, one must, oh, here we go. One person must recognize certain facts. Okay, here's the facts. If you want the healing, this is the first fact. First, it's obvious that decisions are of the mind, not of the body. Okay, so the first thing you need to recognize is this, is your mind is making decisions and not your body. I'll say it again. It's your mind that decided to come here today, not your body. Your body didn't decide to come here today. Your mind is what's making all the decisions, not your body. That's pretty obvious, doesn't it? But we don't act like that when it comes to the cold. We have a cold, it doesn't like I decided to have the cold. It's like my body caught a cold. See what I mean? We act like our body makes the decisions. I just want to have a cool day. And my body say, I think I'll have a sore throat. or your mind says, well, that person isn't good for me. I'm not going to deal with that person. But then your body goes, I've got to have her. And then you're going like, you're acting like you're fighting. You go, no, I got to have her. that happened to you before?
Yes.
Yeah, you made that decision you were going to do, and before you knew it, your body was like all on top of it. I used to know what head was ruling me. Now I know. He said, the sickness is but a faulty problem-solving approach. I like that. Being unhappy is just a faulty problem-solving approach. Mm-hmm. When the suffering is just a faulty problem-solving approach, of course, that's within the sickness or unhappiness is a decision. And if it's a decision, it's the mind that made the decision and not the body. He says the resistance to this, to recognizing this is a normal. Isn't it? The resistance to saying that it's me making the decisions that's creating my reality in this world, there's enormous resistance to saying I create my own reality, my thoughts attract, my vibration creates what happens to me. It's a big resistance to that. And the Course is saying, you know why? Because the existence of the world as you perceive it depends on the body being the decision maker. Do you realize that if you really recognize that it was your own thoughts that was creating your reality, that the whole world as you know it would be over? Because most of our perceptions of reality is based on the idea that there are things that are happening outside of us that's affecting us that we have nothing to do with. But suppose, let's just pretend for a minute. Just pretend for a minute. Pretend for a minute. Well, just a minute. That every single solitary thing that was happening and is happening to you in your life right now, you created it. Just for a second. Just pretend that where you live was your decision, or your relationships are your decision, your job is your decision, your financial situation is your decision, the way you look is your decision. Every single solitary thing that happens to you in your life right now, your mind decided to have that. That would be a completely different perspective on reality. If you hear it right, then it excites you. Because what happens is you go, oh, then that means no matter what it is, even if it's something that I don't particularly feel great about, I can change it. I can change it. I'm not stuck. But if it's a relationship, I can have one that is peaceful and loving if I make the decision. If it's my financial situation, oh, I could change that. If it's my relationship to spirit, I could. You mean nothing that I'm going through? My car? my body? When you hear the truth correctly, it empowers you. It doesn't depress you. It only depresses you when you want to blame yourself and make yourself feel bad. That's when you go, oh, no, I didn't. I didn't have nothing to do with that. I know I didn't have nothing to do with you. Man, you're out of your mind. I know I didn't have nothing. I would have never asked for that. Blah, 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 blah. He's like, okay, while you're arguing, right, you could be making a new decision now to have a new experience now. And then we have each other to support us in having that reality, because when we join together, we create with the power of God.
Yes.
Wow. So not only am I making a new decision about what I'm going to express, I have mighty companions that are joining with me that are saying, that, you know what, you deserve to have peace, you deserve to have love, you deserve to have a fulfilling life, and I'm going to remind you of that even when you forget about it yourself, and you're putting yourself down again and not believing that about yourself. That's what we're supposed to do for each other. That's what saviors do for each other. Mm-hmm. They don't let each other forget that they deserve love and happiness and peace and joy.
Amen. Yeah.
Your crucifiers remind you of how crappy you are when you dare to forget it. You say you feel bad about something, they'll say, and don't forget the other thing you did too. Those aren't your saviors. I'm going to give you a little tip. How dare you even think you deserve to have a loving relationship? What's wrong with you? Those people aren't your saviors. They're your crucifiers. And I used to be attracted to crucifiers, especially if they looked a certain way. What about you? Think y'all had some really cool, hot crucifiers? Look really cute, but not telling you nothing that's valuable, right? Okay? Now, the test is, when you're in the presence of somebody who reminds you the truth about you, will you seek them out the way you seek out the people who don't appreciate you? My experience in teaching for 30 years is that people are much more prone to put their attention into the people that give them conflict than they are into the people that give them peace. And they're much more prone to be turned on by the people that give them conflict than the people that give them peace. They get downright hot about the problems. Have you noticed that? So one of the surefire signs that you begin to love yourself more is that you begin to get more turned on by the people that appreciate you than the people who don't. And I see that one over B. That was like a star statement that just brought the house down. The problem I have with forgiveness sometimes is I don't want to let the other person off the hook. You know, I want to be forgiven, but I don't want you to get away with what I think you did. And so, if I'm going to be your jailer, then I have to stick around in the prison to watch you. So remember that. If you want to be somebody's jailer, you got to be there with them in the jail. Like the jailer is in the prison with the prisoner to make sure the prisoner doesn't get out. So if you want to imprison somebody, you got to stay in prison with them to watch them. All right. So free yourself by freeing everybody around you, and you free everybody around you by realizing they're already free, and it's just your fantasy that you have any control over in any way, and that they're giving you that power as long as it looks like you're somehow or another giving them something that they think they want, and when they realize that they're not going to get what they want, they're going to take that power back, and you're going to freak out, because you're going to be under the illusion that you really have some kind of influence over them. That's what happens in special relationships sometimes. People really think they have power over you because you gave them the power because it served some purpose that you needed served. There was something about the bargain that was going the way you wanted to go, so you made them think that they really had some kind of power over you. Then you decide that they're not going to do whatever it is you decide you wanted them to do. You take that power back and they freak out because they threaten you or they say whatever they're going to take away from you or whatever they say, and you don't have any, it has no effect whatsoever. They freak out because they're so used to you reacting to their reactions to you. So don't forget now, you're free and they're free and they're faking you out if they're making you think that you really have some power over them. Don't fall for it. They're giving you that power. They're giving you that meaning. They're letting what you say have some kind of effect on them. So all you have to do to practice the truth is give people what they already have. If I am conscious that you are free, then I have freed you. If I tell you my preferences with you, but totally understand is you can do whatever you choose to do, then I freed you. If I choose out of the relationship because I feel like what it is that I think I need is not going to happen, but I still recognize you're free, I've still freed you in this beautiful thing. Wow. We are free, you all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are free. The freedom is of the mind, it's not of the body. like my friends of the Parliament Funkadelic said back in the 70s. Free your mind and your ass will follow. It's not like if I want to go into the kitchen. It's not like if I want to go into the kitchen, my body says, no. No. If my mind wants to go there, my body will follow. So if you're trying to have a relationship with someone and you want a healing with someone, you want to join with their mind. Because once your minds are joined, the bodies are just going to be thrown in. So once the heart and the mind is connected, the body is just part of the deal. The body is going to follow the mind and the heart, you all. So don't make the body the goal. Make the communication and the joining of the mind and the purpose the goal. And the body is going to be a part of that. But the blind mind does it the other way around. It makes the body the goal. Doesn't pay attention to the mind. And doesn't realize that it's going to be the mind that you're going to be living with. the deep. So the test I always tell people, that I told them over years, the real simple test to find out whether or not the relationship is about the body or about the mind is simply to ask yourself, if this person didn't have a body, would I want to be with them?
Vibration.
If this person did not have a body, would I want to be with them? That's deep.
Yes.
Because then you know the person. And then you know whether or not your whole thing is just a physical attraction. And if it's just a physical attraction, and you both realize it's just a physical attraction, you still have joined minds. Because you're still on the same wavelength, and you're still seeing the same thing, and you still got the same purpose, so you're still cool.
Yeah.
But just don't fool yourself, because the Course says pain comes from self-deception, and when you fool yourself, that's when you get hurt. So if you tell yourself it's about one thing, but it's really about another one, that's when you hurt yourself.
Yeah.
But if you're honest with yourself, and they're honest with themselves and say, you know what, I just got a really great physical attraction to you. It's just, you know what I mean, I'm just. Well, sometimes that happens. You know, and if you're fortunate, the other person is growling too. But be honest with yourself. Because sometimes people, it's just the physical attraction, and they try to make it out of something more than that so they won't seem like they're immoral. Really, it's just about the body, but if I act like it's just about the body, what kind of person am I? You know, it's like, honest. That's the kind of person you are. So, what you want to do now then is to realize that whatever you're going through is a decision of your mind. It was a decision that you made. It's a decision that you made in the past, and now you're willing to do it differently. You're going to tell yourself that I no longer see any value in suffering like this. I no longer have any use for this. I'm going to claim my power. I'm going to ask for what I want. And I'm not going to crucify those who don't want to give it to me. I'm going to ask the universe to supply it to me. I'm going to get the universe to do it by saying to the universe, I am ready to learn. I'm ready to learn how to love. I'm ready to learn how to have peace. I'm ready to learn how to have abundance. And the universe knows the perfect people who need me just the way I am. That the way I am is exactly what they need for their spiritual development. So all of a sudden, I'm moving forward now, because I'm not spending all my time trying to convince people to change or like me. I'm actually with people who appreciate me for who I am, and we're moving forward toward our goals together the way we deserve, and we all get what we want faster than ever. Thank you for listening to this much. We want to give it up to you, to your in this room. I saw people looking around growling at each other. And I got something I want to share with you before you go. And we're going to do the love offering now. Thank you for sharing with me. I'm a full-time teacher of the Course, and that's how I provide for myself with God and the world is through teaching. So thank you for sharing financially. If you find value in what I do, appreciate that. Unity Temple also appreciates it. Thank you for also remembering the truth about me so that I could feel better when I was making a decision to suffer a little bit. So if you're doubting that you deserve to be happy at any level, come to any of my classes, and I promise you the one thing you'll never experience in one of my classes is condemnation. I want to be the kind of person I want to have in my life. I want to be the kind of person I want to have in my life. I want love, so I'm going to get it. I want peace, so I'm going to get it. I want acknowledgement and recognition, so I'm going to give acknowledgement and recognition. I'm going to stop the old pattern, which is always expecting people to give me what I'm not giving myself. Expecting people to give me what I'm not giving them. I used to do that, you know. I want everybody to love me. And if they love me right, then I love them. But they don't have to prove to me first that they were worthy of my dysfunctional love. But these are awakening beings in this room, and I can feel it. I can feel it. And I do one-on-one sessions where I bring the Course into whatever situation is that you're dealing with in your life. For those who are open to a more psychic and intuitive side of things, I've been an astrologer and numerologist for 30 years. And mixed with the teachings of the Course is a powerful combination. If you want to, are interested and want to find out more about it, I got some flyers up front. You can just take one with you and check it out. If you're willing to open your mind, there are always answers. If a person already feels like they know, there's nothing you can tell them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you already know, you say to the universe, don't help me. If you go, I do not know what this is for. I don't know why this is happening. I really want another way to look at this. Then you're opening the universe up to help you. So continually ask yourself, do I want to be right or do I want to be happy? Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? You see what I mean? So today, whatever you do for the rest of the day, make that decision that suffering is no longer the way that you're going to choose to go about doing it. If you've done enough suffering, you've done the suffering thing, you're ready to do it another way. You're ready to do it now through gifting and discovery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to receive gifts, and I'm ready to discover some really cool stuff. Some really cool people. And they're showing up, and they're saying the same thing I'm saying to me without me having to prompt them. You know, it's not about educating somebody to talk to you. Some of you all know exactly what I mean. You're always trying to educate the person enough to have a conversation with you. That's inequality. And when you're unequally yoked, you're guaranteed to have drama. Even if they're saying to you, I really want to learn from you. Watch it. It's a red flag. You want equal relationships. You want to be with someone who, through their own work, they come to the same conclusion for peace that you have. So that you all are not convincing each other. You're supporting each other. That calls for patience and sometimes saying no, even when the temptation is right there and it looks like it would be so easy to just go ahead and jump on that because it looks good to you and you want it, you know. But don't forget, there's not anything that you're receiving through somebody that's a challenge that you couldn't receive through somebody that's not a challenge and just as fulfilling.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, but we have to take those thoughts and make those thoughts part of our consciousness the way we make the other thoughts part of our consciousness. There's no such thing as somebody in your life that you experience joy with coming in the wrong form. Or you wouldn't be experiencing the joy. So focus on the content and the form will take care of itself. Focus on the content and the content will create the body that will provide you with that content. And in the beginning, you're going to test yourself to see if you're going to stick to your guns. So you're going to have what I call the last temptations of Christ. All right? There's going to be those people who tempt you the most to try that old way one more time. To see if you're going to say, no, I'm not going to accept less than what I know I deserve now. And it looks so tempting. And it looks so, everything will be cool about him except one little thing. And you'll be determined that you can change that. One little thing. That's all. Just one little impredictable thing. It'll just be perfect happy. You know what I mean? All right. So I'm going to do a quick little review, Earl style. And then we're going to go out into the dream. Is that me? Okay. Next Sunday at 11. I'll be doing 11 o'clock service and the 1 o'clock. So we can do a double hit. My class is 12 o'clock noon on Wednesday and also 7 o'clock on Thursday. And each class has its own personality and its own vibe. And I really appreciate you all coming out today. And support us supporting each other and looking at it another way. That's a blessing. So, this is a message that Spirit told me to tell you all before you go out into the dream. And I want you to pay particular attention to these lyrics. Listen. Get ready to go out into the world to create from a new decision. Don't get shy. Thank you for coming out. God bless you.